When asked at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in 2024 why cybersecurity isn't at the top of young people's minds, young changemakers from over 40 different countries responded that cybersecurity is intangible, inaccessible, and inconvenient. I'm your host, Anita John, and welcome to InCyber. I'm joined by Callum and Warren. It's our very first episode. How are you guys feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be here. I'm healthy, alive. I've always wanted to do a podcast. I just never knew what it was going to be interesting to talk about, but I'm in cyber. I live, breathe cybersecurity. So I think that's the best thing to talk about. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, cybersecurity, it's what we do every day. It's not something that we do just off the cuff, you know, just as a job. It's our life and we love it. So we want to hopefully share the knowledge, share what we have. And I hope you guys can relate
enjoy.
To
them. Yeah,
enjoy, exactly.
So intangible, inconvenient and inaccessible. What do you guys think about that? I mean, we young people in cyber, can you relate? What do you have to say about that?
So from our standpoint, I think the three of us are a little bit biased because we are in the industry, we are consultants. But this information that you shared did come from young people. So I think we're able to put ourselves in their shoes. I can definitely see why cybersecurity would be intangible, inaccessible, and inconvenient. And I can name a number of reasons, like the concepts you learn in cybersecurity, like files and AVs. It's not something you can touch. Like it's generally software products, so it's intangible. It's not physical. You can't touch it. In terms of inaccessibility, we don't learn cybersecurity in primary school and high school. In South Africa, we don't even focus on IT as like a additional subject. It's an eighth subject, if I recall correctly. So it's something you do if you want to.
Exactly.
But I think it should actually be part of the curriculum. So yeah, so it's inaccessible. And in terms of convenience, I actually have a relatable story. So up until matric, I had the same password for everything. Same password for all my logins. And only when I started working.
Mark on the end, kind of.
Password 123.
Exactly.
Only when I got into cyber, I kind of realized why that's a problem. So I can definitely see the perspective of the young people that participated in the survey. I think, cyber is a complex topic. But I think at the same time, that's why we're to kind of like change the perspective, actually show people that it's not those three words.
Yeah.
It's actually accessible, tangible, and very convenient.
I think the way it's also like sold to, especially young people, it's sold as like this niche kind of industry where you need like specific skills or a specific mindset, or it's only specific individuals that can be in it. And like you say, people like us are here to be like, you know, you don't actually have to be a special kind of individual. Anyone can get into it with the right attitude.
I think the one important part as well is as someone who wouldn't know a lot about security, you don't really want to do anything about it until something actually happens to you.
Exactly.
So until you get hacked, until there's a problem, until your passwords have been compromised and you realize there's something to be done about it. And I think from school, no one really knew about those things.
Exactly.
But with that being said, now that we've heard, you know, this response came from people over 40 different countries.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us here, how would you say your view of cybersecurity has changed now that you are actually in cybersecurity? I'm sure all three of us didn't really know much about cybersecurity growing up. So how has your view then changed before and now that you're in the industry?
It's actually really cool as well because we are from three different countries.
Yeah.
So all those 40,
literally.
There's probably three of them. But I think that, it's... you know, the before we get into that, the inconvenience of why would you want to set up some like a security hub when there's not much to protect? So, you know, you're at school, you don't have much to protect. What are you protecting? Whereas at a bank level, it's like you've got a lot of people's, you know, their finances, you know, wills, all of these sort of things you need to protect. There's a reason for hacks to get into that. But from that view of bias of where we came from before, heading into cybersecurity to now, I've realized that it's a massive thing. It's such an important thing for us to have from the beginning. Because if you have those practices in place, you're going to continue to and have a more secure, not only a lifestyle, businesses you start, things you do, things you see, cookies you're accepting, terms and conditions you're accepting, what you're reading, you know, it's very important. But I definitely do think that my change, my idea of cybersecurity has completely changed for the past 2 years. So it's amazing. Yeah.
I think if I was to be interviewed a couple of years ago, I would have probably said the same thing, like the young people that were interviewed said, because again, I didn't understand it. And like you guys said, I didn't feel like it affected me in any way. I didn't have much to protect.
And that's actually funny.
I
think our generation has a lot to protect
because
our digital footprint is so
we just don't realize it, but we do.
There's so many.
Everything is online.
Exactly. So many apps we log into with passwords. And like ordering food, ordering groceries. It's convenience, but at the same time you're increasing your risk.
Yes,
because now you're like signing up to all these services where you don't know they don't protect your information in the same way. So Uber got hacked a few years ago, and we all use Uber.
Exactly,
and it's kind of like.
Yeah, what you said, they're increasing your risk, that's a very good point, because it actually ties into how my view has changed. Before, like I said, like majority of young people, I just thought cybersecurity was this niche in industry where there's hackers and only specific individuals that can be into it. I never really understood the point of it. I really just thought you're just hacking, you know. Like now I see cybersecurity as a way to reduce risk. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of domains in cybersecurity, but all of them at the end of the day ties into reducing the risk. So with everything that I do now in cybersecurity, it's just with a risk, like a risk approach mindset.
But how do we increase awareness among, I'd say, like the teenagers, because like they're so digitally, like we're so digitally enabled, like we grow up with phones, but we don't care about security. But at the same time, we're like really good with devices. So it's kind of like, how do we sort of bridge
the gap?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how do we get these people that love their devices so much to actually care about security, like integrate it into their lifestyle? It's kind of like the same way we did. Like, how do you guys think we should do that?
And I think, like, what we're doing now could be a form of it, just like by encouraging people to get comfortable with cybersecurity, you know, to not treat it like it's this
taboo.
Yeah, you know, something that it's like completely unreachable. I mean, the three of us, we're just sitting, you know, talking about cybersecurity, talking about the importance of it, what we think about it. I think a lot of that, and just trying to teach cybersecurity in a way that's like relatable, instead of it coming across as like, you know, this big, intangible, inaccessible, inconvenient industry, you know?
Yeah. So 3 years ago, we did this competition called GovX. It was a hackathon. Me and Anita were in the same team. And you had to submit an idea like, of how to increase cybersecurity awareness basically within your community. And my idea was to sort of like give training in the language the person understands. So like in South Africa, we have 11 languages. So my idea was like, have cybersecurity training in Xhosa, have it in Zulu, have it in Afrikaans, kind of like get to the demographic.
I do think it's from a standpoint of, when I got into cybersecurity, thinking that was me choosing a niche, thinking that was me choosing this is such a specific job, but it wasn't. You know, there was the opportunity to become a penetration test, this opportunity to do what me and you are both doing now, and DRC kind of work. There's so many ways in which you can go into cybersecurity that people don't know those kind of definitions, and because of the ever evolving world, there are words that have to be created in all of our 11 languages as well for these certain things. I mean, it's
that is true.
Yeah.
So we say, basically we're saying, make it relatable. So speak the language of the the demographic, the youth, yeah.
Callum, you mentioned that when you started into cybersecurity, you thought you're going into like a niche industry. Did you always know you wanted to be in cybersecurity? How did you end up in cybersecurity?
Yeah, I mean, I did whatever every IT kind of kid did, or per se. Sitting in my room at school and, you know, trying to learn how to work the kind of computers and that and all of that kind of stuff. And I had a passion for computers from a young age. And in like grade 10, when I was 16, I started to get into like understanding like Kali Linux and wanting to know what these Udemy courses that I can find and learning how to hack, you know, these things. Obviously not at a level that is going to get me in jail, but to a level that is internal, that is safe per se. And I loved it. I really enjoyed it, but I realized that maybe it wasn't really because I wasn't amazing at it in that specific penetration testing field. I thought cybersecurity actually wasn't for me. At that point, though, it was penetration testing purely. It wasn't specifically cybersecurity.
Like for myself, in high school, I heard of cybersecurity. You know, the picture of the hacker looked cool, but it looked intimidating. It looked like I would never know how to do what that person's doing. And I did IT. So like you say, IT was an extra subject where I had to go to like a whole different school after school to do it. And even then, at no point was security ever mentioned, you know. Mm. But we used to code, and I thought that was also cool, just like working with code, problem solving, you know, building stuff. And then when GovX came into the picture, I remember when we entered, like, our knowledge on cybersecurity was very, very minimal.
It was non-existent.
It was non-existent. I think it's very safe to say it was non-existent. But it was interesting, you know. We had that thing of, like, we actually want to learn, to the point where we studied. We actually, like, studied like we're studying for an exam, you know. We stayed up late just learning new topics. And even though it was intimidating, I think the excitement was just always there to want to know more about cybersecurity. Until today, I think it's still there, you know.
I mean, the ambition. I speak for all of us, when we have this ambition to learn and want to learn more, we are all studying and, you know, all computer-type degrees. And it's loads and loads of fun. You have a software background. I did a software engineering course for 3 months, you know, just to get that out the way, to see what exactly software engineering was and my passion for code and all that. But it also dives into the aspect of that's what you love, that's what you enjoy. And from that, we kind of will create this security kind of element to it, which hopefully one day will make an impact from our own passions. And I hope this is one of them.
Definitely. So, I mean, look, guys, I'm 21. You're 23. It's crazy. We're young, you know. And here we are speaking about cybersecurity. Like, how did we end up here, Warren? How would you say you ended up here?
I actually wanted to bring it back to Callum and say, so you said 16, you looked into ethical hacking and kind of didn't get it, and you told yourself it wasn't for you. At what point did it become for you? Or like what changed in terms of knowledge and awareness for you that you were like, actually I can do cybersecurity as a career, or I can give pen testing a chance?
Well, I think I realized that it wasn't just pen testing. That's why it was exciting. And I think pen testing is, obviously you want to be in that space, and you know cybersecurity is an up-and-coming career path at the moment. And you know that the world, I mean, you saw CrowdStrike's thing that happened a while back. And I think that I kind of enjoyed the elements of what cybersecurity had to offer from the course that I was doing on pen testing. And then I also just needed to commit. I did try in 2021 when I left school I applied for computer science and computer engineering at UCT. I got in, but my marks weren't competitive enough, so I didn't get through to the final stage. I didn't get that kind of like feeling of I've done it. But I still wanted to do something in computer science, but I knew that doing a computer science degree was, for me, I thought it was too broad. Because I wanted something to like specialize in or something to be specific. Because you see doctors these days, they aren't just, I mean, you do get your GPs, but you know, you want to be in that, like, what makes you special? And I think that's why.
You want to be a nose
doctor. It's actually so interesting. Like, one of my lectures, one of my computer science lectures is now transitioning into cybersecurity. And he's like, I'm helping him out, which is very, very interesting, you know, because he's obviously been teaching computer science for so many years. And, you know, he's like over 40 now. So it's like now only he's seeing the value in doing cybersecurity. And the fact that he has to restudy and, you know, basically start from scratch is, it's crazy to me, because computer science and cybersecurity should sort of like go hand in hand, you know. As a software developer, you do need to take security into considerations. And the fact that it's not being taught is again another reason why young people feel like, you know, it's inaccessible. But it definitely should be incorporated, because it works hand in hand. Any technology related studies should at least have security.
And just because we're in cybersecurity doesn't mean that we don't have the advantage of going back to something like software. I mean, we've definitely been exploring the opportunity of secure code, all three of us. And I know that's something that is a big field out there. And I think we're all on that journey to hopefully get there one day. And I know for me personally, I want to get there one day. Looking at the whole secure life cycle of source code and information, I mean, it's just like, it's awesome. But I think that, you know, it doesn't mean because you go into cybersecurity, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
I actually think that software developers kind of relate to the young people in this case about, like, cybersecurity being inconvenient.
Right.
Because, like, devs, I mean, we wouldn't have vulnerabilities and hacking wouldn't be such a big thing if devs knew
about it, exactly.
Like, from the beginning, yeah. Even knew how to securely code their web apps.
Yeah.
If, like, they grew up foundationally, if they considered security,
yeah,
we wouldn't have as much cybersecurity wouldn't be.
That's actually a very exploding. Good point, because yeah. you exploiting vulnerabilities in websites that they made. So
they
it's
made,
like,
exactly.
We're like, yeah.
If they thought about it before, there would be no vulnerability.
Exactly.
So I think that it's like a global shifting perspective that everyone needs to have, not just young people. Same thing for old people.
True,
I think
not
old people,
just
like
people.
This applies to old people as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's very difficult making that connection as well. Like, we are young. How do we make sure that old people realize that? So, and I make the general comment of old people, but it's people who are more experienced. They have a lot to bring to the table. But at the same time, you know, we are trying to help, we're trying to put forward. I do think that a lot of devs, I mean, like project management as well. Like, a lot of devs hate project management because it's this way of, like, you have to do it a certain way. In the same way, software developers or devs in general will, you know, want to follow their own way rather than the way of the company. Or
the
way
easy.
Yeah, exactly. The easy
way out.
Easy way out.
Which leads to vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
But to bring it to my
tell us about your journey
into cybersecurity. So it started 3 years ago. I never really knew about cyber. I watched Mr. Robot in grade 11.
I remember you made me watch that.
Yeah.
I had no idea what he was doing.
And I didn't actually, like, when Elliot would be doing his hacking and he actually kind of explains some of the attacks that he's doing, I didn't actually, like, read too much into it or understand what he was saying. I just liked the storyline. But that was, I would say that was, like, my first proper
break into cyber.
Awareness of hacking, security, that game I was talking about was Watch Dogs. So I think, but I've always liked computers.
Yeah.
I've always been like the IT kid. Like, I've always messed around with computers. I've always understood how to use computers. So it was kind of like things fell in place by the time I got exposed to cybersecurity. So in 2020, that was my trick year. But didn't do so well with my marks. Like, my physics was bad. My maths was kind of bad. So I didn't really get into the universities that I applied. And I wanted to do computer science. I wanted to be a developer. That's what I knew from grade 7, I think we'll attach like the picture to the screen or whatever. But yeah, like career day, I said I'm going to be a software engineer. And
in grade 7.
And I was in grade 7. So
I wanted to be a journalist.
By the time I got to matric, I still wanted to be a developer. I was pursuing it. I was actively looking at Python, using Ubuntu as like my main operating system to kind of get used to the terminal and things
cool
like that.
You were like the cool kid amongst the IT the guys.
There, exactly. I was trying to be like that. And then so my marks were bad. I didn't get into the top universities that I wanted to get into. So I was kind of bummed out about that. I then applied for a boot camp, like a software development boot camp. I went through the first two rounds, third round, we had an interview. I didn't really make the cut. So I was kind of like stuck after matric. And this is early 2021. So one random day, I think this was in March. Around March, I was looking at UWC's website.
Yeah.
And then there was an ad for a hackathon. And I didn't know what the hackathon was. When I read that, I was like, are we hacking into machines?
I remember when you came with it, I was just like, what?
I was like, hackathon, I probably can't do that. But the more I read into it, I was like, oh, okay.
And you saw 100,000 Rand as first prize. Yeah, and you were like, that's a lot of money.
That's what got me to actually search, what is a hackathon? So when I actually did my research, saw what the scope of the competition was, I realized, oh, you're not actually hacking anything. It's not. It's nothing technical.
False name.
Kind of type of thing. So like I said earlier, the main idea of the competition was, how can you increase cybersecurity awareness in your community? So I was looking at it on my own, and then I thought, I actually need a team, because they said you need a team. And I thought, who's the smartest person I know?
He didn't think of me first.
And I mean, we didn't go to the same high school, so that's why I didn't think about her. But someone I knew from high school, super smart girl, was like, I reached out to her and I was like, hey, can you join me in this hackathon? This is the prize money. This is what we need to do. I think we can do this. And she's like, nah, I don't want to do this. And I was like,
But you're going to have that, you know, you want to get somewhere. There's a goal at the end of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, she, I'm bored.
Didn't see the vision. So 100%. I went to my bestie, Anita. And I
think you really sold it well to me. Like, even initially, I was also like, are we going to actually win this money? Like, is this a waste of time? But you really sold it well. You were like, no, cybersecurity, it's the next big thing, you know, let's do this. So I was like, okay, literally.
And what I realized, why I was so passionate about doing it, was there wasn't a lot of people doing it.
Yes.
It wasn't like you had to apply and you could see who are applicants. So like the first round, we use this platform. I can't remember what it is, but it was like a platform where you submit ideas. So the first stage was you submit a bunch of ideas. Then the mentors will look at the ideas. If they like it, you get a mentor allocated. So I realized, I was like, damn, there's actually not a lot of entries into this competition. So we had multiple different entries and our two entries went through. We got assigned mentors. That's how I met my current employer. And from being in the whole mentorship process, it took about, I think, like a month. I think like a month, and we had like weekly meetings. So you had to refine your idea. So that idea that you put into the platform, you had to refine it and kind of build like a prototype, a business case type of thing. So you had to do a presentation to cybersecurity industry titans. You had to do like a presentation about your
idea. That is scary.
It was very scary. Dude,
remember, we're coming from high school. We have no like professional experience. It's like, I won't lie, the way I presented wasn't the best. Actually sucked, I think. They were nice enough. We got good feedback. The people gave us good feedback.
Yo, well done.
When we did this, I don't know anything about the world of work.
Yeah.
And I built a relationship with my mentor, who's my employer now. And I kind of reached out to him and I was like, hey, look, I didn't get into uni. Didn't get into the boot camp that I wanted to get into. I kind of have nothing to do. I'm stuck. I'm going to rewrite my trick. So if there's anything I can help you with for free. I don't mind. Or volunteer, just learn. And he was like, yeah, we'll chat later after the competition. After the competition, came back to me. He's like, to have like a little interview, see what we can work out. We had the interview, went well, gave me 6 months probation. And that's how my career started.
I think just to add on to what you're saying, I mean, for if those that don't know, we went through the same journey. I was also in the competition and everything you said afterwards. But what I wanted to say is that it's quite interesting how, well, for me at least, like being in GovX, like you said, we were only there for like a month, but a lot happened in that month. We learned so much in that month. We connected with so many different people in the industry in that 1 month. I learned how to do a prototype, how to do a business case, how to present. We like it just shows like how much opportunity there is in the space, you know, because in just a month, we got a job, we got mentorship, we got connections, we built our LinkedIn in that same month, you know, it taught us a lot. And that's literally the cybersecurity industry, you know, it's like just finding the right community. And from there, it's like everyone just goes up together. Because from that, like, yeah, it opened so many doors.
And people in cyber love to help.
Exactly.
That's one thing I want everyone to take away, is that people in cyber love to help. Like, it was a month of mentorship, but also just like, before that, there was a whole month of different people in cyber doing presentations about their field. So you had people talking about risk, you had people talking about incident response, SecOps, pen testing. So you had different tracks every, like it was every Monday, Friday, I think, build up to then getting a mentor. So we got a lot for you, Oz. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. We got a lot from that 2 months.
How does your story from, because I know you were at the same event together, how does your story relate in terms of high school? How was high school, like the end of high school? Kind of, how did you get into it? What was your...
It is kind of similar, honestly. I think like in school, from primary school, let me start there, like primary school, high school, I think I always like saw myself as like academically smart. But in high school, I got to the point where I became too arrogant. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm always in top 10. I'm smart. I don't really need to study, you know. I don't really need to put in as much effort.
He didn't think that you were smart enough, though.
He didn't think I was smart enough. Even though I used to always be in high school.
Same school. So, sure. She wasn't as smart as a person.
So, yeah, like, I think... like towards the end of high school, I really just started slacking a bit, if I have to be honest. And I didn't, you know, I also wanted to study computer science, and computer science is a very competitive degree to get in, you know. So even though I passed above average, the competition was tough. And I didn't get into computer science. I also applied at, I applied at all the top universities as well. I didn't get into computer science. And similar to Warren, I think I was also like, okay, what now? Because all my life I was used to like things, especially in terms of academics, I was used to things like working out for me. Yeah, and this is the first time where I'm like, oh, okay, it's not working out, not the way I planned. So I also planned on starting, becoming a software developer. I think that came from my brother. He's working as a software engineer. And I didn't get in, and I was just also confused. I also then just decided, you know what, I'm just going to rewrite. I actually remember, Warren, we said we were going to take a gap year, so I also did the boot camp. I didn't get in. I was so mad that I didn't get in. I emailed the lady. I was like, I can code. Why am I not in? You know, I was like, why did I not get accepted? So things just didn't go my way, and then I was like, okay, you know what? We're just going to take a gap here and then try again next year. Remember, we even tried to work at a call center. That didn't work out. We were just like, no, this is not for us. And then I think when I went back to high school to fill in my forms to rewrite, my principal was actually like, yeah, no, Anita, you should be in varsity. And I was like, well, I didn't get in, you know. And then he was like, okay, he's going to just like call some people, and he called some people at the university, and then I got accepted for BCom General, so for Black Business, which was something obviously completely different. But I just took it because I wanted to be in university. I always wanted to get my degree. So I accepted the offer. And in that year, in that same year, 2021, that's the year we then bumped into GovX. So while I was doing GovX, that's when I was studying at UWC as well. And yeah, we then entered the competition. I also met, I had a mentor. Well, we had more or less the same mentors because we're a team, but we had different ideas. So we're working on our different ideas separately, but he would meet up with my mentor. I would meet him with his mentor. And then...
Who was your mentor?
My mentor was Anna Collard. Shout out Anna Collard. I will forever be like appreciative towards that lady. She's taught me a lot. So, and Bevan was his mentor at the time. Yeah. So then we learned a lot from both of them. The goat, yeah. Then Anna helped me a lot with my idea. She really, really loved it. My idea was along, what was it again? Helping on online GBV awareness. My idea was basically like a text recognition engine that if you like online, like you can give it your safe word or like a word that you can type out when you feel attacked or when you feel unsafe online. And then when you do send that text, when you type that text, it then like sends an alert and then blocks the person or does... It goes to the authorities, basically, so then I built off that. You know, at the time, like, both of us didn't have a lot of resources. I did, like, the prototype that I did, I remember I drew it on paper, and then I just took a picture of it and scanned it. Like, I didn't have the resources to go on Figma and create an actual prototype. I didn't even know how to.
How many gigs was your computer?
It was 2 gigs. I presented on my phone. I remember the day of the competition where we had to present. I presented on my phone, which was like an iPhone 8. I had it on top of me. And then when they announced the winners, I just did not expect my name to be mentioned. So then they were like, oh, Anita, third place. I was like, what?
Oh my goodness. What
and then I had to switch on my camera and I was like, it's a phone, you know? So, but I mean, look, I used what I had and... Made the best out of it.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just shows that it doesn't matter if you have nothing or everything. You know, it's like you have to do something with it.
Exactly. Then, yeah, I want some money and then I use the money to buy a proper laptop.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. It's like the first thing was buy a proper laptop. And I'm glad that I did because that's when we met Bevan and that's when we got the job.
She gave me a cut as well, that money.
I gave him a cut as well.
Even though we were like, it was separate ideas, my idea didn't. My idea made top 10, but I didn't win. She still gave me a little bit of money.
She felt bad.
I mean, we worked together.
I brought her to the competition, she should have gave me off. And that's what I believe.
On top of that, though, you did then go and buy a screen about that big.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Which is just still the most impressive screen that everyone has.
That's what happens when you work in cybersecurity. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear how we've all, like, gotten into cybersecurity from like different backgrounds, different countries. What were some of the challenges that you guys faced?
I mean, kind of. So, I mean, I've mentioned when I first thought about cybersecurity, but in terms of like combining the challenges with that kind of how it came to be that I got employed, I got involved in hospitality. I didn't know I would be someone who would get involved in it. I started out as a data analyst here in Durbanville in Cape Town, just helping out, just doing whatever, just to get by, kind of. Because I didn't even know that actually. I was just for my first year out. These guys. I would arrive at the house and we would make beer and taste beer. It was a very, very weird experience, but it was cool. It was a great introduction into the working world. And then I took a break and did my software engineering course for a while, and that was cool because I was doing something that I enjoyed.
Straight after high school.
Yeah, this is like high school. 7 months after high school ended, that's when I was at my first job, and then I did my software engineering course for 3 months. And then that's when I discovered in November 2021 that hospitality and people. So I've always loved people, but I didn't know that I could be a good waiter or a good bartender or that kind of stuff, because it's daunting. You're speaking to new people every 5 minutes, having to remember orders and all. As a 19, 18-year-old, you're going, whoa. But anyway, so I got into that kind of hospitality area. And after about 9 months of working in that in the same workshop or out of the same kind of company, because we had two different areas we would work at. The one where it was a delivery and the one was a restaurant. I was told by a friend that, do you want to make the money that you're earning right now, but about 10 times the amount and on a boat? It's like, this is like the best opportunity ever. Anyway, so I did my yachting courses, got involved in it, loads of fun, you know, completely different to what I was doing before behind a desk. And that was kind of my commitment for the next year and a bit. I went traveling overseas, loads of fun. I got on a barge, not really a proper boat. So, you know, you're going on a boat that goes 25 knots. Now you're going on a boat that goes about one knot or 5 km an hour, which is really, really slow. And then I got to Switzerland in 2022, like November, December, and looking for a hospitality job. And like, I want to help people still. I love this kind of stuff. And jobs were just not coming my way. Kind of like, you need meaning, and I feel like in life you need like a meaning of what, you know, what makes you, what can you like give back to the world, but also what makes you wake up and go, this is a good day. I landed upon my cybersecurity degree in Germany online. Started studying that in December of 2022 while I was still in Switzerland, which was a whole nother story. And got back to Cape Town in January. Decided, you know what, back home, let's settle down, let's just study, get this over with. But due to having ADHD, which is a different challenge that I do face, I need to be doing stuff. I need tasks, I need to be busy. And I started looking for a job, but not in a like a side kind of job, not as a waiter, not as a all of those kind of like hospitality based jobs. I wanted something in the field that I'm doing.
You wanted a career.
Exactly. So cybersecurity, I searched up the top few people in the area. My mother really helped me. She had loads of connections. And through meeting with those connections, I was able to then submit CVs, get my name out there. Essentially going to ESET South Africa, going to EY, going to top people, Candace Wilson from EY, the head of cybersecurity, absolutely amazing. Got to chat to her and eventually just put a post out on LinkedIn saying, I will do absolutely anything. I will be your coffee boy. I will, which in Bevan's case was a bit awkward because he said, Callum, we are a remote company. So, yeah. So coming to my house and getting me coffee wouldn't be the most appropriate thing. So that's how I started that. And ADHD for me, having to focus, having to maintain that focus is, I've combated that. My speech impediment, massive thing. I mean, getting into, in matric, signing up for a play, to put myself out there to just like, you know, screw this. But that's not where the challenge stops. Like clients, I mean, talking to a client, how scary. It's like, these are people who are paying you to do a job. What happens if you mess up? So I guess, it's getting into cybersecurity. It's been a challenge in itself. But it's showing that ambition. And I think that's something that we all kind of offer.
And how have you, like, how do you feel now in terms of your speech impediment? Like, do you feel like you have it, you can control it better? Has it improved? Like, how have you overcome that fear of speaking to a client or like feeling like, you know, your speech impediment is going to affect the way a client receives a message?
So it's a confidence thing for me. It's 100% confidence. And you know, I went to speech therapy in 2017, 2018, just to, you know, like, I think I should see someone to know more about what I have. And they diagnosed me with what's called a clutter, not really a stutter, but it's because my brain is that way. And my mouth's trying to keep up with what I'm saying. Mm. So ways to, like, I face that every day is slow down, know what you're saying, explain it in a full breath and just relax. It's always something that I'll have. So yeah. I will stutter. It's going to happen. But I am able to control it. And I think when you're able to put that spin on it, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter if I do,
it's
if I don't.
It's just who you are, yeah.
And because I put that spin on it, I'm okay. And yeah. I will hardly stutter.
I mean, has it ever had like any negative effect on your work?
On the work output, not really. Mm. But on presentations, on reporting back work, on that, started off saying nothing. Now I think I get told to keep quiet sometimes.
Yeah. So it's just the confidence, like you said, it's just building up that confidence to be okay with if you start or not. Okay, interesting. What about yourself, Warren? What challenges have you faced?
Before we go to me, I just wanted to ask Callum. So the viewers, like, you push yourself out there, right? How, give us practical steps. Give the viewer practical steps.
For another person wants to.
How do you go from not actually having an opportunity to get into cyber to getting into cyber? Like, what steps would you give a person? Because you said put yourself out there, but what does that mean? What does it mean to put yourself out there?
It is scary. Putting yourself out there is scary. But what that means is creating your own personal brand. Who are you? What makes you, you know, special? And I think one of the questions that many interviewers like to ask, one that I do, what makes you different to the next person? Because I can say that I deliver on time. I can say that I arrive on time. But that's good enough. That's what you're supposed to do. What pushes it past the barrier? And it goes past CVs. It goes past that stuff. Handing out CVs every day, yes, you'll get denied, but just keep doing it because that's normal. You know, meet with people in the industry that you're interested in. So, you know, you want to get into makeup, for example, you know, go speak to people who are in makeup. Like, how did they start? What did you do? Like, I want to understand how you got into it. And them seeing that ambition from yourself, they will want to help you. And then that's in my case, I was looking for help. I wasn't looking for a job specifically. The job will come. It's looking for that advice. And you'll constantly get those conversations that come up of, okay, so now I want a job, but, you know, no one's offering me one. Okay, well, get off the couch, go and do something. Yeah. You know? In the digital age, it's made it so much easier to do that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean sit at home and be on your phone.
Yeah.
Find a place, go to it. Yeah. Find another place, go. Look what you want and you will get it.
Like what you're saying in terms of also like the CV thing, it's just a thought that came to me while you're speaking. Like, as a young person, especially if you're coming straight from high school or straight from varsity,
your CV sucks.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we should actually stop encouraging young people to focus on their CV because, like, what are you going to put on there? You know, like,
attentive to detail.
You know, attentive to detail. I'm organized. Like, those are all good things, but like you say, it's stuff you should already have. Exactly. It's not like something to brag about. So instead of focusing on how pretty your CV template looks like rather show, you know, your drive, your ambition. Rather show, hey, look, this is the courses that I've been doing, you know. Or on your CV, put links on if you could, you know. Rather say that on your CV instead of the soft skills, if I could say. Yeah.
It's the simplistic of the CV. It's everyone accepts CVs. Everyone will take in CVs.
Exactly.
So just do it. That's a given.
Yeah.
Everyone will want to see your CV.
But it's not your CV that gets you the job.
That isn't the main thing. Show your ambition. Show what drives you. Yeah. And I can say for all three of us, we were not hired because we ticked the boxes. We were hired because we
did not give Bevan a CV.
Yeah, I didn't give him a CV.
We didn't give him a CV. That's why I'm like...
But we built a report over the month.
Yeah, And I remember when we had this conversation with him, you know, similar to you, where you were like, you can do anything just to learn. We also approached it from like, how can you help us, you know, like what can we do, what videos should we watch, what topics should we learn, you know, can we work for you for free to just to learn.
Exactly.
So it's not just about like getting into cybersecurity, getting paid, making a beautiful CV, because that's what they said in life orientation. Like, life doesn't actually work that way, unfortunately. You have to show that you want something, you know?
I mean, the most important thing there is, and I'm very grateful for the backing that I had growing up, but what going overseas taught me is that you can't expect to be at the top. You can't expect to start from a management position. You can't expect to be in that kind of place. You got to learn. You got to put in the hard work. You got to, you know, take the time. And I think that, you know, we all were at a level of like, we want to learn. We want to show you we can learn.
Yeah.
And that is a lot more attractive to employers than a CV.
100%.
I would say, so like to roughly sum up what you guys are saying, open a LinkedIn.
100%.
On your LinkedIn, say what you're studying, what you're doing. Reach out to people in the industry. People love to answer messages. I know I love answering messages. So
same here.
Just if you see someone doing what you aspire to do, send them a message. Find out how they got there. I'm sure they'll be more than willing to help. Another thing that we didn't know before we joined was conferences. So I feel like in today's age, if you are a teenager, let's say 18, 19, fresh into uni, and you go to like a B-sides, local security conference, ticket is, I don't know, 150, like a general ticket. I don't know, like something like that. You go there, you're going to see a lot of interesting talks. You're going to get well acquainted with the industry, what it entails. There will be people. It's very... is daunting the right word to talk to people you don't know? Like, walk up to someone and die. Like, it's super scary. But, and I wish someone told me this before. Like, I wish someone just said, you know what, just do it. Just walk up to that guy and be like, hi.
And just say hi.
This person.
Yeah.
I'm not in the industry. I want to be in the industry. What kind of knowledge can you share to help me get into it?
Yeah, because like you're getting a real life application of what cybersecurity is actually about, you know. You're speaking to the people that's actually doing this on a day to day. So definitely that helps any young person, helps you understand what you're getting into first.
Now going to my challenges, I would say my biggest challenge was being put in an uncomfortable situation. For an example, like an audit. Like early on in my career, I didn't know the standard. I didn't, like, I never knew it because, you know, internship, 6 months, learn the ropes. So, like,
what's a standard?
What is that? I have an experience where I was thrown into an audit. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to say. I kind of froze up, but I went with the flow. The person I was doing the audit with was super cool, so she knew like how to answer the questions I was asking. So it wasn't like a disaster. Like the meeting didn't stop and the meeting went on. It went well. It's just that I felt afterwards, I was like, I don't ever want to feel like that. I don't ever want to feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And being a consultant, we get put in so many different cybersecurity scenarios or like types of work, like it's a lot of different things. So,
and it's what makes you grow, you know. It's those uncomfortable positions that actually makes you grow.
And we love the deep end.
So
Yeah, so like I would say, like, imposter syndrome, a lot of times I felt like, should I be here? Do I have the knowledge to actually be operating in this space?
Like, I'm hearing you guys talk about the challenges, you know. Let's say there's a viewer at home, an 18-year-old. Before we got to the challenges, the way we were speaking about cybersecurity, you know, we made it sound like, oh, it's easy, you know, it's you, this opportunity, it's nice, it's convenient, get in, you know. What are you doing? Just get in. But I think if we have to be real, it is hard, obviously, as a young person, specifically, like you're saying, imposter syndrome is a big thing for young people. You know, you're like in a room with older people, that has more experience, that knows, that has more experience not only in cybersecurity, but life experience, yeah. You know?
In life, yeah.
And you, like in your case, you were auditing someone who has more life experience than you, and you saying, oh, can you show me evidence that you're actually doing this? Like, you're only 19. Who are you to say that? Like you say, you know, it's an uncomfortable position to be in, but it's what really makes you grow. And I think, like, all young people should know that it's not going to be easy. It's never going to be easy just getting into cyber, even if the opportunity is there. Even if it's easy, like, let's say getting
in. It's easy to get in, it's harder to stay in.
Yeah, it's hard. Exactly. It's easy to get in, it is hard, very hard to stay. It's hard to maintain and just keep pushing through those uncomfortable positions. Because just like Warren, just like you, Callum, I've also been in positions where I'm like, I actually don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry, Bevan, if he's going to say that. But you have to be fair. As an intern, I was like, I actually don't know what I'm talking about. And I was very quiet, like even in our internal meetings, because in my head, I knew, I was like, I don't know what they're saying, you know. Let me not try and pretend like I know, you know. Let me not try and pretend to be something that I'm not and just like give useless feedback when I really know I don't know what I'm talking about. So most of the time I would just sit quiet and listen and learn. But it's hard because then you're perceived as, you, especially as an intern, you know, they expect you to like show that you want this, show that you like into it. But now you're like quiet. But then that could be perceived as you're shy, yeah, or you like, you don't have the drive. But actually, like, we don't know what to say. We genuinely don't know what to say because we are young. So I think, you know, for any person watching, any young person watching, like, when you get into it and if you do experience that, I think it's very normal, you know. And I think we've all been blessed to have a patient boss, to 100%. Have, you know, someone who actually understands that and
where you are.
Yeah, you know, and like encourages us and builds our confidence. But
eternally grateful.
Very grateful, yeah. But it's normal. It's very, very normal for any young person. If a young person goes into cybersecurity and they're like, yeah, it was easy and I'm thriving, and then no, you're doing something wrong. I don't know.
I think on that, my dad has a quote he always says to me that like, the word hard isn't actually, you should never use that word. Not saying towards you, I'm saying in general. It's life's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
But you do it. But
you still do it. Yeah.
But you have to make that effort to get into something, to do it, to, and the challenges that we've mentioned, it's not that, oh, look at us, pity us here. It's that forms a part of us. I also believe that I have no regrets.
Definitely.
My life's my life. Yeah. I've lived it. It's turned me into who I am today.
Yeah.
I am so happy with who I am today.
Yeah.
That everything in the past has shaped me into this person.
I agree with you there. No regrets. None at all. Yeah. And yes, we're not trying to ask for pity, but we're just showing that, you know, we were resilient and if you we relate thrived to us, through the challenges, and I mean, look, 3 years later, here we are.
Yeah,
I was about to say, I think that why we can sit here and you know, talk about this 3 years later is because in those uncomfortable situations, those challenges, we rose above it. Like, we worked through it. It didn't stop us. Like, just because we didn't know something, we didn't then just put our hands in the air and be like,
I don't know.
It's taking the time after work to
go and find
upskill
out.
Upskilling. I feel like a lot of people have this attitude of 9 to 5, once it's 5 o'clock, I'm done with work.
I don't think we stick to 9 to 5 ever.
That's not a concept, but like, having that kind of like fixed mindset is the problem. I would attribute our success, the three of us, in being employed is because we have a growth mindset. Like, you're
thinking about the future.
Exactly. You get in a tough situation and you're like, how can I grow from it? How can I avoid it the next time? And I think that's something that everyone needs to have and constantly think about, especially when they get into the industry for the first time.
Yeah, I think you guys can both relate. Like, messing up at work is not a nice feeling.
It's not.
Being like scolded at or just like messing up in front of a client. I mean, you know, we're young, we're supposed to be making mistakes, but it's not that we're perfectionists or anything. It's just not a nice feeling. And personally, I would not want to do the same mistake again. Yeah. You know, once I mess up, it's just like, nope, never again.
Never again.
Yeah.
I would say that's my secret to success.
To success, yeah. Mm. You know, you mess up and then you do better.
And you,
do
and
better.
You learn from
and
the
you
mistakes.
Learn from
and you realize,
yeah.
Actually, wait, if I've made the mistake twice, let me start again.
At that point, is it a mistake?
What's
you start,
going on?
Mm,
yeah,
you know,
need
then
to
you start
deeper,
to
look
yeah.
at the root cause of what's exactly. actually, like, mm. are you missing foundational knowledge mm. in cyber concepts?
Exactly.
You know, like, I feel like the CIA tried is something. People like will get into cyber and forget that this
100%,
cyber is based
yeah.
on
it's
the CIA
popping up, but
tried.
You don't
yeah,
really
exactly.
take it into consideration. Exactly. That's true, yeah.
So it look deeper and actually mm. analyze, assess your skills. Do a gap mm. assessment into your skill set yeah. and your knowledge and what the industry actually wants you to know. Mm. Like what level should mm. you actually know?
And I think the challenges that we are able to overcome, it's more to go like, you know, if someone's ever been struggling with a similar problem or has a speech problem or is feeling like they don't belong in a certain space because they don't know everything, that's fine. People with degrees who don't even relate to cyber get into cyber and they're able to, you know, make a living from it.
Exactly.
Not only that, they're able to perform and they're able to like climb up the ranks and, you know,
exactly. That's actually a good point, Callum. And as you were speaking, I wanted to mention something along those lines because like all three of us somewhat comes from like a tech background, you know, so it makes sense why we're in cybersecurity. But let's say someone that didn't do IT, that has no idea like what, they don't really understand a computer, you know, how do we encourage them or make them feel like it is still possible for you to get into cybersecurity without having a tech background?
Growth mindset. If you're going to come into the industry and be like, oh, no, I'm not a technical guy, I don't understand this technical stuff, how are you going to learn?
Yeah.
You're already
yeah.
like telling yourself, I don't want to learn. It's like saying, I don't want to.
Yeah,
learn.
And that's the beauty
I'm
of cybersecurity. It caters to everyone.
To everyone, exactly.
You know?
And the mental blockers you put in your mind.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I can't
yeah.
just because, no.
Fixed. You
how can
fixed
you
in your set ways
solution.
Of thinking. Yeah. Mm. That's the problem. If you have a growth mindset, you're going to come into it and you're going to be like, okay, I've never done anything technical in my life, but I'm willing to learn. Let's go.
Yeah.
Where do I start?
Where do I start?
Always,
exactly.
Like, that's the thing about cybersecurity. Like, it's super abstract and complex, but it has a starting point. Mm-hmm. It has a, there's a foundation, there's foundational courses you can do. Mm-hmm. You can learn how to use a computer. Mm-hmm. Like, there's courses that will teach you how to press the button. What is a keyboard? What is a mouse? How do you use it? What's its point? That's what you learn in CAT. So I feel like those people just have a growth mindset. Let's start the mindset. Where are you? Do you believe? Do you believe you can grow into this, or do you not? And if you don't, there's a problem. We're really starting off on the back foot. If you think you can't get to,
you gotta have that. And it's not that like if you don't have it, then you'll never ever have it. It's that are you willing to put in that hard work? I think something else is that in terms of practical steps of what can you do, what are things, and in terms of your conferences kind of point, B-Sides this year in December, I'm going to be a volunteer there. Very excited. It's my first time volunteering, my second time going. And it'd be great to see, you know, a whole lot of people who hear this, come and, you know, enjoy our, you know, if they want to come up to us, have a conversation, just, you know. We are, you know, we're friendly faces. We're not scary. We're not gonna be
I'd
there
like
staring
to believe
you down.
So.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, like that growth mindset, that way of, you know, you wanna drive, you wanna get yourself somewhere.
Mm.
What are you willing to sacrifice
to get there?
And that doesn't mean you have to give something up. That means you have to make sure that your time. Or you know, maybe stop going out every night. It's like that kind of a...
I mean, like, it's almost like us, you know? This is our first podcast. We have no idea how to do podcasts. You know, we've never done it in our life. Mm. We're not media people, you know, but we're just doing it, here well, we are. Try. And
I'm a TikToker, so like, you know, coming from that space. Kind of
TikTok famous.
No.
Yeah, but no, just
do it.
Yeah, we.
Yeah.
We believe we can.
Get there. Yeah. Just do it.
Be good at it.
I wanted to say also, I know we are obviously encouraging a lot of young people to come into cybersecurity.
We need you guys. We
need you. Yes. Yeah, pull through, yes. You know. But what would you say to the CEOs, you know, the CISOs, the bosses? How would we then, as I'm going to call it, the young people in cybersecurity advocates, how would we then go to them and solve the idea that young people actually have an impact in the industry? What would you say young people would bring to the table in cybersecurity? What impact do they have?
So,
why do we need them?
Just like climate change. And I'm not an expert on this.
Sorry, it could be so hard. Just like climate change. What?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on it, so I don't even know how to properly describe it. I'm just going to use climate change, like whatever. The reason why we should care about it as young people is because 20 years from now, the older generation's not going to be there. They're not going to be the ones experiencing the world affected by the state of the world. Mm. So I think cybersecurity is just like that. Like, we need to be the advocates for a more safer digital world, because that's the world we're going to live in. Mm. So we need to, like, the young people, we need to, like, rally up, like, you know, actually, I would say, like, a first step is petition that we get cybersecurity as a subject in high school, like grade 10 upwards. Yeah. There's so many aspects to cybersecurity. It's like GRC, red team. It's like, find the easiest out of that. Start teaching it to young people.
Mm.
Get like, the way we know business accounting, maths, we should know cybersecurity. 100%. Exactly like that.
And remember when you said that, you know, young people, we have more, I think it was you that said that, Callum, we have more digital footprint.
Mm.
It only makes sense that we should know about it, you know, compared to older people. Not saying that it's useless for older people to know about it, but we are the ones running the internet lately. So we would have a much bigger impact because we actually understand what's the latest thing online, you know, what's trending, et cetera, et cetera. And in that sense, like, imagine if all young people knew about cybersecurity today, like people on TikTok knew about cybersecurity and it was like a thing, would, like, the amount of hackers that there would be like so minimal, you know, because we have, like, again, we are taking over the internet space. So if we are then spreading that message, you know, they would actually raise awareness faster. They would, we would have better security, I think. And if young people came together and collectively.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, the aim is not to, like, let's overpower the old generation and take over the world. It's more of a, we are more trying to come together and take their ideas, because the older generation have experience, they have knowledge, they have loads of these 100%. Brilliant things.
I mean, they built the standards, they built the framework.
100%.
We can only just take it and add like a fresh perspective to it.
Exactly.
You know,
and I think we can
a different
work
way
well
of
with
looking
them.
At it. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I would actually go as far as to say, we just need to run with it.
Yeah.
Like, your question was, what are young people bringing to CISOs and people at the top? I don't even think, like, we just need to be there for them to give us knowledge, so we can, like, you know, like in relays when you pass the baton.
On that then, would you not think, like, let's say, and I'm going to use our company as an example, right? We are obviously all young in our company, and, you know, Bevan's approach with us in the way we work, do you not think that that's influenced because he has young employees? If he had older employees, do you not think the structure, the approach would have been a bit different?
Definitely would have been different.
So that's what I'm trying to say by us bringing in fresh perspectives. It's like we're also making them think.
But now this is
differently.
I'm saying from a cybersecurity perspective. Mm, okay. So like, yeah, young people are not gonna in the pen testing flow, like the traditional methodologies that have been released by reputable organizations. A young person's not gonna come into any one of those organizations and be like, let's add this extra step in the methodology.
You never know, it could be a very exceptional young person.
But there hasn't been anyone in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by, in that sense, we're not really contributing. We are learning and then applying. That's what I was saying. It's like passing on the baton. Like we need to run with it. True. We the next CISOs, execs.
Yeah.
We need to learn from them, not necessarily tell them a better way of doing things.
No, I definitely don't think that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to overtake them or anything. I 100% agree with you that we're learning. I guess it's just when we get to that position, the way we then teach it to other people.
That's what I was saying. Like it's the uniqueness.
Yeah.
You as a person, like the way you do an audit, that's Anita.
Yeah.
That's not young person, it's Anita.
Yeah.
You don't audit cool because you're young, you audit cool because you're Anita. And
yeah,
Anita
that's
has
true.
A, like life experience that's that even I can't like fully like grasp, but like we're different people.
Mm.
We bring different things to the table. And I think that that's what's so cool about like InfoSec as a company. Like we all have
Different backgrounds,
like different perspectives. So to your point about would the structure change if the company had a lot more older people? I definitely agree, but then that's not
additions to cybersecurity. Yeah, I agree with that,
That's just,
So it's a bit like you've just like fallen off the edge of the cliff or the question. So it's coming back now. Coming back to reality. No, I agree.
I think it's a very like debatable topic. You know, like, what do young people bring to cybersecurity? Because, I mean, again, we are here encouraging other young people to join. What if someone was to put us on the spot and be like, but why? Why do you want to
join?
Yeah.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, climate change, like, if we all pollute, the world's not going to be a nice place to live.
Yeah.
So if no one makes the world, everyone else
if no one makes the digital space safe, we all
just
gonna
us doing our part.
All gonna lose our money.
Yeah.
We're gonna be
banks are gonna be hacked every day. You know, like companies are not gonna care about our data. There's just like there will be no accountability.
Mm.
Imagine like a bunch of CISOs that don't care about cybersecurity, or that don't care about security inherently. It's like,
I mean, would they be called a CISO at that point?
Are we going to be safe? So,
very interesting topics. I think that brings us to the end of our very first episode of In Cyber. And with all of that being said, we really do hope that you found this episode to be valuable and insightful. And we aim to providing you with the same value and insight, you know, based off our experience in the industry as young people. So stay tuned and learn more.
And comment and let us know if you need
feedback. Yes, please. Feedback.
Questions, things you want to know.
We are not pros at this, so we would love your feedback. What would you like to hear? What would you like for us to improve?
What would you like to know?
Any questions you want us to answer, just let us know.
Thank you guys.
And we'll see you soon.